up to the last time we left off with the question, right?
Yeah.
The question is, we left off with a question last time. Well, what happened to Tumas Masa with regard to the Kalim, the Nidmu Bameis? An interesting thing. So we said, let me just a quick review. We said that with regard that the essential concept of Tumas Mace is that which is part of it's an encounter. What produces an avatuma with regard to Tumas Mace is when you have an encounter between the world of the living and death. That was the basic idea. And in the world of the living, so you have Adam v'Kelav. And death is reflected in two realms, in two ideas. One is the dead body, of course, represents sort of the death, reflects death. But there's also besides there's Misa, but there's also Ariga. There's also the idea of being killed. So and Cherev reflects that idea. So the Kli that was Nitma v'Meis really can have two identities. One is the idea of the world, the Kalim, Adam v'Kalav. So it's the world of the living which encounters the dead, the dead body. But you also have now another idea, and that is that it's the paradigm of Cherev, which was translated into a halachic realm. Caleb. So those are the ideas. But now the question is like this: the halacha is, I mean, you have the major machlokas about it. But the Rambam shita is that like this: that if you have a kli that was nitma minameis, so that kli is an avatoma. That there's no machlokas about. That kli is an avatoma, but it's metame. So right, it's metame only b'maga. So he said, for example, the seventh case, right, the seventh out of the nine, the list of the nine avos atuma that the Rambam has in the Parasha Mishnah. So the seventh one was Mace to Kli to Adam to Kli. So the halacha is that in between two and three, that is going from Kli to Adam. Again, it was Mace to Kli to Adam to Kli. So going from Mace to Kli, okay, so that could be the O.L. of a Maga. Obviously, a Kli can't do Masa. So a dead man can't do Masa. So you can't, so you have Mace to Kli is either the Maga or the O.L. But then Kli to Adam is only the Maga. Only the Maga. It's not the Oel, and it's not the Masa. And then again, Adam to Kli is only the Maga. It's not the Oel. It's not the Masa. So the fact that from Kli to Adam isn't the Oel is understandable, because the whole idea of Oel is an encounter in the human realm. I mean, so you can't speak about the idea of the oil of the clever Kli. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. But the question is, what about Masa? Why wouldn't it be that if the Adam picked up the Cherev, the equivalent of the Cherev, the paradigmatic Cherev, so then why wouldn't he, without touching it, I mean, the Masa, he picked it up, he moved it without touching it, so why wouldn't he become an Avatoma? That was the question. Okay, everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anybody have any ideas? I mean, I think that given everything that we did, it's not too difficult to solve. I don't think. I mean, let's go back a step. we said if you go back to, you know, to one of the earlier shiurim, so we said that logically tumas meis unfolds in the Torah. Temporally, it all happens simultaneously, but logically, there's a progression of steps. So the first step was that tumas meis, you have the mace, and you have the adam, and the adam becomes an avatuma by touching the mace. That's the first step. Just by Nagia. Okay, just by Nagia. So that was the first step alone. What does that mean? So it means that it's not a halacha in transference and diffusion of tumah like the way that the tumah normally operates. It's not transference and diffusion, but rather it's the idea is an encounter with the mace. But the question is, what do we mean? What does the Torah mean when dealing with the idea of encounter? So the first step was that the Torah borrows from the world of Tumah V'Taharah the universal mechanism of transfer. So even though this here is not a transfer, this is an idea of encounter, but it borrows from the idea of Tumah V'Taharah, which the rest of the world of Tumah V'Taharah does operate by the idea of transference. So the Torah borrows the concept of the universal mechanism of transfer. The universal mechanism of transfer in Tumah V'Taharah is Nagia, is Maga. Okay. So, but then that's the first step. That's the first step. But then the Torah expands on that. And the Torah then said the second step is that encounter is not only going to be defined by the universal means in Tumah V'Taharah, but it'll also be defined in an area in a way which is unique to this situation, namely, you know, encountering the domain. In other words, it's defined by a domain. That if the person goes into the domain of the mace, so then that will be defined as an encounter. Okay. That was the second step, logically. Okay? Then there's a third step. The third step is that if the Torah defines that an encounter is going to be within the definition of encounter, we're going to have the idea of being in the presence of the mace, in other words, being in the domain, being in his domain, so then Masa will also be a definition of encounter. Why? Because Masa and Maga are defined really as contact. Or however that was, or however else you want to say it, that was this year that I was out in Farakway, right? However you want to count it, however you want to define that idea. I said contact, but the guy said a lot of different ways to do it. Anyway, you want to say, I'll say contact because that's the way I had it originally. But whatever, you know, we had a number of different possibilities. So Masa is contact, just like, you know, like Maga. I don't want to say just like. I mean, I shouldn't say just like Maga, but Masa is contact. And contact is certainly an encounter, okay? If you allow for the expansion of the definition of encounter to mean domain as well, so therefore Masa gets included as well, and that's the Kal Vachomer. So there are really three steps. Okay, you with me?
Yes.
Okay. So okay. So now the question is, How to restrict the idea, you know, the idea of encounter over here to in terms of the cherev, why should it be logically that there's a restriction only to maga? Why should that be? So just what's the methodology? How are we going to solve the problem?
Why should it be that Cherev only partakes that first step?
Yeah, so what's your step? What's the logical step over here?
In Cherev, you only have the primary, the borrowed.
I know, so that's right. You're noticing something, but it's true. You're noticing a distinction, in terms of methodology, I'm not saying what question should you ask. I'm saying what maneuver do we need to make. So we need methodologically we need to somehow explain that there's a difference between cherev and corpse. Okay, there has to be even though. The concept is the concept behind the halacha is that an encounter with death produces an avatuma, and death includes two components. That which reflects death includes two components, the body and cherev. But somehow there must be a difference between body and cherev. It must be a categorical difference such that they're distinct from each other, and yet they both fit into this category. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So before, all right. So that's the first step methodologically, I think. So, but fortunately, we do have some help. We do have assistance over here. Is there a place in halacha? Is there a place in halacha where there is a distinction between the body and the cherev, vis-a-vis tumas meis? And besides this area, besides our, tumas masa, etc., is there a difference? And there is, and you know it. You just maybe you're not associating to it, but there is a difference, and you're aware of it.
I think there are a few differences.
Bad.
Like for example. That the example is in terms of one can be tahor, one can't.
But again, one can be.
One is subject to tahor, one isn't. Right? For example, one is that which it's mitame is going to be chayav karis, the other one isn't. Like if there's some areas with local differences, the differences are shorter.
You mean in terms of adam yes, and the chayav itself no.
Sorry.
You mean in terms that the Adam is subject to Tahara? Is that what you mean?
No, the Cherev is, the Mace isn't.
Oh, I see. Not in terms of the Mitameh, the Mistameh, but the... Right, okay, the Cherev is subject to Tahara. The Cherev is subject to Tahara, but the Mace is not. That's true, that's good. Okay, that's a good distinction.
Also in terms of Onesh, right, that the... In terms of what it's Mitameh.
In terms of what do you mean?
Meaning, let's say the mace is mitame something, an Adam, let's say, versus the cheru is mitame an Adam.
Yes.
So the thing which is tame in one case will have a chiyus kuisus, one case will not.
Okay, all right. True also. That is good. It's just true too.
What are we
thinking about that? Well, there's one other I was thinking of. I mean, these are all true. And they all point to the fact that there is a difference. And there's one I think that what Yaakov's saying is true, and it does highlight that there is in fact a difference. But there's one halacha I had in mind that really I think points to a critical difference. And not, they're all critical. But one I think it's like makes it very very it stands out. And that is the halacha with regard to a kohen, right? So the halacha is, well, what's the iser? What's the iser for a kohen? So it's interesting. I just noticed it over Shabbos, but I'm not talking about a kohen gadol. Kohen gadol is interestingly, and I didn't really have time to work on it, but a kohen gadol is an interesting question. Something to stop and think about. A kohen gadol, there's two isurim that a kohen gadol has. In terms of being metame to metame mace. So one tayag is that shalayit shalayitame kohen gadol lekrovim. A Okay, so Kohen Gadol can't be Metame. Well, I mean, why is it Metame the Krovim? Is because a regular Kohen really could be Metame the Krovim. So Kohen Gadol's special, because even the Krovim, the Kohen Gadol can't be Metame. Okay, fine, that's understandable. But then there's another separate Tayag. Of course, the Kohen Gadol is included in the regular Isser, which I'm coming to in a second, that it can't be Metame to a non Karov. Okay? So, fine, okay. But then the Kohen Gadol has another distinct Isser. And that is, Shelo Yikanes, the Kohen Gadol cannot be Nichnas im Hameis be'ohel. Interesting thing. The Kohen Gadol can't be Nichnas im Hameis be'ohel. It means there's an Isser lo Yavo. Interesting thing. So the question is, what do you mean? Why do you need such an Isser? Because if you nichnas imameis ba'orel, so then of course you're nitma, and that's also to begin with. It's a separate issur of bia ba'orel. It's an interesting thing. Why that should be is a good question. Something to think about. But that's for Kohen Gadol. For a head yod, so shelo yitame kohen head yod l'nefesh adam elo l'krovim. So the issur is he can't be metame, but it's interesting. The Torah doesn't say he can't be metame mace. But rather it's he can't be metame lenefesh. So it means like this: if a kohen gadol was nogeya becherev, is he an avatuma? Is he tame shivas yamin? Absolutely. Is he violating any Isurim Daraisa whatsoever? The answer is absolutely not. He violates an Isur Daraisa only if he's Metame with a mace, but not with a Cherev. So why should that be? So here you see a blatant example of a difference between the mace and the Cherev. And what Yaakov said also, I mean, it's absolutely also true. I mean, there are other differences as well. I mean, there's a factual difference that you could be, you know, that the mace, of course, is not subject to Tara. A cherev is subject to Tara. Well, you know, like, so why should that be? We could just as well say, you could imagine that if the halacha is that hanogeya b'cherev is ki'ilu nogeya hareyu kinogeya b'meis atzmo, so it could have been, you could have imagined that there could have been a halacha midaraisa, that the cherev could never be subject to tara. But it is, okay. So that's one difference. Of course, the corpse itself can't be subject to tara. So why is that? So the answer is, The corpse is always going to be the corpse. You can't. What are you going to do to it to purify it, so to speak, to be metaya the corpse? It's still going to be a corpse. You see, but you could have just as well said with regard to the cherev, whatever you're going to do to it, it's still a cherev. You know, it still has that halacha. You know that it's the paradigm cherev. So, but that's not so. It is subject to tara. So that's the difference. And then you have the idea of the Issacharis, is with regard to the Adam, with regard to the Adam Ames, to the corpse, but not with regard to the Kli, not with regard to the Cherev. So all these three ideas are telling you something.
Is there one other difference?
Go ahead.
Is I think like a Nazir who touches the Cherev.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
He doesn't really become Tameh.
That's right. You're right about that. I mean, I think it's on Chutz and Gemara, if I remember correctly, but...
The Rambam hasn't, right. He hasn't become Tameh.
You're right. It does, you're right. I think there are... Forgot it, because I think there's a whole discussion about it, but it's not the same thing. You're right, with regard to the Nazir. With regard to... Because Tumas Meis is Saseres Naziras. Right? It's one of the things that a Nazir can't do.
Right.
So you're right about that. Also with regard to the Nazir.
Right, but he hasn't even become
Tameh,
like Shivas
Yamin. He's not Torah?
I don't think so. I think the Rambam says he doesn't. He's not Mazeh, Shlishi, and Shvi.
It's pretty wacky.
Yeah, it's weird.
Do you know what it is?
It's a Naziris. It's in a Paragzion of Naziris.
Can I run a second?
It's Paragzion. It's, I think, Halacha Ches.
Halacha Ches?
Yeah.
What about a mace, or the cave of a nugget mace, ain't a mice of Shisha Shri? The old is that didn't use the nausea. Come, she didn't have a cave of a shiva, yaz of Shisha Shri, because she's by the Thomas mace. Hey, your Elish is there, she ain't a mace, and I became a Kadesh Yellow, you made the mouse of a cave of a mini mace Rosa. Yeah, but that, but,
ha. I mean,
around
the father vibe, but it's interesting that you could have it.
Right, it's an interesting year of Lee.
Yeah.
Gives it, it's another good thing to look into, you know, to define. But because it's an interesting thing. I mean, they sheyalu lo yemeitum also minyan yemein as Yerusha.
Weird one, right?
It's interesting. I mean, so does that mean that he never is mazah?
That's what I thought, but I mean,
because the year of Lee. You could read the end of the Rambam by saying that maybe it's pushed off. Good question. I mean, something to look into, obviously.
It's a funny havami, like yearly shizit in yuchad nazir. You know, it's not open that everyone else needs to shishi yuchad nazir.
Right, it's a lach
of
chayr.
It seems like
yearly shizit in
yuchad nazir.
It's strange. There's no question it's strange. The Naziris is... it's funny, right? It's funny. I mean, the year of Lee... First, the year of Lee, you're saying, is... what do you mean, the year of Lee? It's a good question. It's a very good question. But anyway, it's something to come back to. I mean, it's a nice problem. So what's the whole idea of Thomas Mace encountering the Naziris? And it's a funny thing. I mean, what happened? And Nazir is a person. I mean, he's a Jew. So he's mistamei. I mean, you know, he's mitamei, right? He becomes tamei. So you can tell me here, he doesn't become tamei. It's the din of tuma is halacha d'oraisa. That this idea of cherev is an open pasuk. I mean, it's a tosh b'chsav. You know, it's not. It's an open pasuk that nageh b'chal cherev. So it means that that he becomes an avat tuma b'tamei shivas yomim. So that's. That's the raisa, halacha the raisa. So
and he's not an open pasuk, the Rambam says.
What's that?
It's not really an open pasuk.
Are you
gonna? The Rambam doesn't really treat it like an open pasuk.
Well, it's still halacha.
Okay, I mean it's the raisa though. It's the raisa. So you're gonna tell me now that because he's a nazir, somehow the tumah. It's a funny thing. It's as if to say.
And
the Nazir shields him from the tumah. I mean, obviously I'm being very, worse than descriptive. I mean, you know, it's as if to say that, like, the fact that he's a Nazir prevents the tumah from affecting him.
I mean, it sounds like he's still tumah. The only question is whether it's a din.
He's not an av. He's not tumah shiva, though.
He's not?
No.
What would you say? He's tumah shiva, just like anybody else, but there's a separate, meaning there's a separate, I don't know if this is true, but is there a specific thing that one must be do the tala on specifically shlishi and shvi? Like, you can't just push it off.
Well, I tell you, it's a good question you're asking now also. I just read this week, the one day this week, I was just reading that the Rav wrote a letter. They have some letters published that the Rav wrote, you know, to different people. So I saw there's a letter that he wrote to Rav Chaim Heller. Rav Chaim Heller was he did an edition of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvot. So he said, so I didn't see what Rav Chaim Heller wrote about because I wanted to think about it by myself, but he said he dealt with the problem of what happens, what's the halacha if a person is ma'achir Hazar b'shvi. In other words, he doesn't do it b'shvi. He did Hazar b'shlishi, but not b'shvi. So what's the din? So apparently Rav Chaim Heller dealt with it, and the Rav said, in the letter, the Rav said to him that he said, I want to thank you for the footnote in the Sefer HaMitzvos, because you've answered the problem. He said, I dealt with this problem, I discussed this with my father numerous times, and we tried different angles to explain it, and I never really explained it to my satisfaction, but your thing explains it well. So he thanked him for it. I mean, so apparently it's not a simple issue. Apparently the whole issue is not a simple issue.
That's a slightly different issue.
What?
That's a slightly different issue.
Well, I'm just saying, in other words, the idea of, it's an analog. I mean, the question is, can you become Torah without Hazar?
Well, there you would still need the Hazar. Isn't the only question though whether you would have to wait, you would have to do another time that they need a certain break for each other, whether you would be able to do it whenever? Even after.
That's the question, that's what I'm saying. In other words, You definitely need Azar. I mean, it's a funny thing. It still winds up funny. I mean, so because you have like this, you have Azar b'shlishi v'shvi for a regular case. Azar b'shlishi v'shvi for the nazir, you're not going to do Azar b'shlishi v'shvi, and why not? Because kadesh yalu lo yimei tamasa v'kelim miminyan yimei nizirusa. So that doesn't affect the nazirus. Okay, all right, but the guy's dumb, and you know,
yeah,
it's a funny
thing. How's that going to help anyway if you don't do Hazar?
What's that?
How would that help anyway?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's dumb, eh? I mean, you know, like, well, come on, what are you talking about?
Right, still you make
it's like a pretense, you know? It's like, if I don't do Hazar, I'll pretend it's as if, you know, the tumor doesn't exist. You're going to, and then it's hard to imagine. I mean, it's to my mind, again, I really have to look into it. I mean, but just off the top of my head, it's inconceivable that he should have Tara without Hazar altogether. I mean, there's no automatic Tara. I mean, it has to come about in some way. It's inconceivable to my mind that he's going to become Tara. He's going to become Tara without Hazar. Then the only thing you're going to say is maybe you'll say he's not Tamei.
Right, he's a Vlad, like the Ram says. The other people are Shiva. He's a Vlad.
I mean, maybe you'll say he's not Tamei, but that. I mean, again, this really bears out research. I mean, we have to obviously go into the sugya.
It's almost as strange, maybe.
But that one, that to my mind is also, you know, pretty rather inconceivable. Not as inconceivable as Tara without Hazar, but it seems to me to be inconceivable that he should be, that a Nazir in particular should be a Vlad Atuma and not an Av Atuma just because of his Nazirus. You know, whereas everybody else in the world who encounters a cherev is going to be an avatoma. It's very hard to imagine that. Very hard to imagine. But anyway, I mean, let's leave Nazir. I mean, Aaron, you know, you're for bringing it up. I mean, it is different, but it may not be the difference that, you know, that the other differences are. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Maybe a Nazir halacha.
Though in Nazir, also the Korban problem. Which is like, is he going to win this Korbanos this way? Which, you know, if he's Tamei, it's going to be strange also.
I know, so the whole thing is strange.
Wait, he can't Mishlach Korbanos. You have to say he's not Tamei. I think you have to.
Just to say that he's, you know, like he's in the zero shields him from Tumas, which is.
I know.
Like absurd. I mean, you know. It definitely bears going into it. It's a nice area. I mean, it's a place to look into it. But what is. Let's take the three things. I mean, so what do we have? We have. It's clear that I want you to go back. I mean, just it's important to me that people understand that the methodology. Again, the question over here was why should Tumas Masa affect only, you know, should be effective only with regard to the corpse, but not the cherev. So you see, so the methodology is to say there must be a difference even within the concept of encounter with death. So, but there's an encounter with death, by encountering the corpse, which is of one degree or one level, and then there's an encounter of death by encountering a cherev, which is of a different degree. Such that, in other words, they're not synonymous. They both partake of the idea of encountering death, but in different ways, or to different degrees, so that they're not synonymous. And Vaharaya, they're not synonymous, because you see, there are three distinctions right away. You can see, you know, right away. So now the question is, so what's the difference? What's the difference?
Methodologically, so why are we going to find differences? Why are we just working from, you know, the question itself and from the basic method? Is there a reason why methodologically you think that's the step to go to, is see what differences there are?
Yeah, no, I'm saying it like this. From the idea of Masa, the question itself is a difference, right? Masa itself is a difference. Right?
The Rambam gives us a reason. He says because it's not Mefurash, and then he quotes a pasuk for Oha.
I know. So, but the question, I know. The issue is like this. They said, now, yeah, okay. The question is, when you see that, so the Rambam says, like, the Rambam says that Tumas Masa doesn't apply, you know, doesn't, is not in the time over here, because not Mefurish Bakasov. So you have, now the question is, so who cares? So why should that make a difference? I mean, there are a lot of things that are not Mefurish Bakasov, and yet the halacha apply, you know, like it works. So why should it be, why should it be that, the fact that it's not Mefurish Bakasov over here should make a difference? So you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, if every time something was not Mefurish Bakasov, it was different from that which is Mefurish Bakasov, so then I would say you're right. There's nothing to talk about. I mean, there's a general principle in halacha that Mefurish Bakasov is one way and then Eina Mefurish Bakasov is another way. So, and this is simply following the same halacha. But that what I just said is not true. There's no such thing like that. So there are many times in halacha where you have something which is not Mefurish Bakasov, and yet the halacha stands. The halacha stands with the rice in full force. So why over here should the fact that it's not Mefurish Bakasov make a difference? You follow what I'm saying?
Right. Did you ever check up that Din Torah thing? I'm just curious if you ever did a search.
Din Torah thing.
You know, how the Rambam says Din Torah a lot more in Tumas Mace than anywhere else?
Yeah, no, I didn't look at it. I didn't do it. I didn't look at it.
Okay.
Well, you're saying that maybe there is something special with regard to Tumas Vatara.
Or Tumas Mace in particular. Like, there's things that are Din Torah and the things that are, like, not. Like Kabbalah, Medivri Sofrim, that are really Doraisa, but they're Medivri Sofrim.
I mean, the Rambam points out explicitly by Tumah and Tara that, like, Tumah, most of the things are Beferish in the Pasuk.
Right. That's true.
Like, so it is something which is part of, like, the essential structure. He puts it in, like, the Minyan Nitzvah.
That is true. That's true. One second.
What is the thing about it? It's not Mefurish Bakasov. What is it of knowledge? It's not Mefurish Bakasov.
Yeah. More like that, right? I mean,
what? Yeah, that compares to Shabbos, right?
Yeah, Goof, right? The Goofy, there's Rav Gufei Torah, isn't there a thing about Tumah Vatara with regard to that? It's most of it is in Torah Shebichsav. That's an interesting point. I mean, I have a different approach. But one second. Why should it matter? Let's go along your approach for a minute. Why should it matter whether it's the Mefurish Batara Shebichsav or not? Why should the whole issue matter? Why should it matter to the Rambam altogether that the Tumah Vatara? Which Rambam are you talking about, Yaakov? Which Rambam?
Well, there's two Rambams. One is the Peruk HaLavah is the one in other Peruk which he's referencing back to. But the one I was mentioning from the mitzvahs is in the Rishima, mitzvahs that say kuf ches.
This is a say kuf ches.
And also, Yud Tas.
I remember that. That's right. That's right.
It's strange, yeah.
Also, like one, the last halacha on Yud Tas, Perek Yud Tas. It's like, you know, it's really one of those really funny Rambams where he calls it Medivrei Sofrim, even though it's Divrei Kabbalah. I think you get Malkus, but you see, there's he's explaining.
Right, right, right. Rov mishpatei kol tuma v'tuma and mevoar atorah shebichtav. Strange. As also, yeah, one second. Your point is a good point. He's definitely saying something over there. He is saying something over there. The very end of Sefer the Sefer Torah. Now the Hilchos Mikvaos, the very end of Hilchos Mikvaos, when it gives that beautiful philosophical explanation, he starts off the halacha. He says, "Davar Baruch VeGalui, Shatumas VaTaros Gzeres HaKasuvein, VeEinan Midvarim Shadaito Shel Adam Achras Osan, Arayin Mechlar Achukim." So I wonder if the explanation of what you are pointing to, in other words, why does the Rambam make such a big deal out of the fact that it's in the pasuk? Where's the other one? Perakei halacha.
Well, hey is the one that the Rambam's talking about for other halacha, it seems.
Yeah, no, but that's okay. But that's not Rove. No.
No, that's not for the main idea of Torah. You're saying in terms of the halakha itself, that's what he's referencing back to.
I just want to say like this. You see, I have to think about it a little bit more, but I'm going to stick with my approach. But I have to deal with what you guys are saying. So why is it that the Rambam emphasizes the idea that Tumah V'Tahara is the Tarash B'Chsav? So I want to say, based upon that last Rambam there, that whether or not something is relegated, you know, how it's relegated in terms of the division between the Tarash B'Chsav and Tarash B'Pah, you could say that the fact that it has to be in Tarsha Bechsav, Rov Halachas in Tarsha Bechsav is to show the point that it's Gzeres HaKasev, Shein Daito Shel Adam Machras.
Right.
In other words, it's a means, it's a mechanism of reflecting that idea. The Tarsha Balpeh is means Svara. It means logic. It means, you know, that which is accessible to man through his chachma. But over here, in order to reflect the point that it's not, Tumah V'Tahara is a realm which is not that area. So Rov the Halachos were written in Tarash B'Chsav.
Right, Ezekiel?
Yeah.
You see Gimel Gimel Tumas Meis?
Gimel, Gimel.
It just it comes up everywhere in terms of me. That's why I really think the search will prove fruitful. You see Gimel, Gimel?
In the beginning, you're talking about Agola or Agola Vadofek?
No, the end of the Halacha. Even though, which is referring to like, Sicharev is one of those cases.
Right.
And also, the Ram definitely says in the Zeros that you can get Malkus even though he's not Megaleach. So you see, it's definitely Doraisa, even though he's not Megaleach, but the Ram says it's not Din Torah, therefore you're not Chayav Karis, is not Megaleach. So you see, Din Torah is not equal to Doraisa. Because he has cases where the Nazir is in Perek Hay of Naziris, where the Nazir gets Malkus, but he doesn't get...
He's not Megaleach.
Right. So you see, even though it's not Din Torah, it's still Doraisa. Yeah, in Perik Hey Halacha Tez Vav, Nazir Shenitma LeMeis Tumashiva, right? Bein B'Tumashu Megaleach Aleihem K'moshis Bar Bein B'Tumash Ein Megaleach Aleihem Harizya Loka.
Right.
And over there in Gimel Gimel, he's saying even though you're Tumashiva, it's not Din Torah since the Nazir not Megaleach Aleihem, but you definitely get Malkus.
Right, I mean, that's also what he's doing, like, in the halakha we did in Shemesh Meis Aleph Beis, but he's dealing with the problem of why Masa is still Din Torah, even though it's not Beferosh.
Right, Din Torah is, like, a different thing than Doraisa.
Meaning it's, because he's saying it should be in the category of those non-Din Torah, Doraisa, Shemesh Meis things.
Right.
But he's saying it's not, because it's just like Bas, you know, Basa, Basa, and whatever, so therefore it's still included in Din Torah.
It's as if the Torah openly said it. Right.
The truth is that he could say two different things. I mean, I agree, your approach is a good approach. I still have a different approach, but your approach is a good approach. In other words, like this. Your approach would be to say as follows. Do you see what you're saying?
No.
No, you don't see it?
It's your approach.
Your approach is like this. Your approach is to say as follows. That really, really logically, I mean, I like it. It's a nice approach. It's elegant. It is very nice. Your approach is to say like this, that really Masa absolutely should be Mitame. I mean, there's no question, it should be, you know, you should be Mitame through Masa, no question. The only thing is that it wasn't written Beferish in the Torah. Okay? And why it wasn't written Beferish in the Torah, we know why. That's the way we did the first week, the first year. Right? That, because of to communicate the idea of the hierarchy, you know, just like Bas Abbas and Achilas Bas Abachalav. So there's a separate reason. In other words, it wasn't communicated, it wasn't deferish in the Torah. So for a different reason. But its force is definitely a Doraisa law. There's no question. However, once it's not Mefuresh Batorah, so the in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara in particular, in the laws of Tumah V'Tahara in particular, whether or not something is written in the Torah has a halachic implication because of the idea of the Rambam at the end in the end of Hilchos Mikvos. In other words, there's another consideration, namely that in order to communicate the idea that this is something which Adas Eina Machras, but it's Exas Akasov. So there's a value in that. I mean, stating that there's a value in that is an understatement. It's a critical idea. Arei Mechwal Hukim. I mean, there's a critical notion to that. There's a critical force to that idea. So therefore, if it's not Bechsav, so it has a different. It has a different force to it. It has a different status with regard to the halacha. So in order to maintain the idea that which is written b'chsav, you know, with regard to Tumah V'Tahara is the essence of the thing versus that which is like a hashlama. So to speak, he says rove, you know. But so the implication is that there's a miyut. I mean, there's a shloma in Torah Shabbatah. It's you know supplemented. It's completed by the Torah Shabbatah. But the main thing is Torah Shabbatah. So therefore, that which is written Torah Shabbatah has a different force, and it gets swept up. The masa gets swept up in this issue. So in other words, it should have really been Metame with regard to Cherev, but it can't because of an extraneous idea. That's really what you're saying.
Right.
not Svara.
What do you mean it gets swept up?
In other words, within the idea of Masa itself, see, Masa would have been in the Torah, would have been written in the Torah.
Right.
Should have been written in the Torah. The only reason it wasn't was to communicate the idea of Kedusha V'Tara, like Basa B'Chalav and Arayos. So because of that, the Masa wasn't written in the Torah. Now, once it wasn't written in the Torah, in order to teach that lesson, the fact is, Lemaisa, at the end of the day, it's not written in the Torah. It's not written in the Torah. So then Masa is not written in the Torah. So therefore, you can apply its halachic application only to the immediate venue of the Kal V'Chomer. So the Kal V'Chomer was with regard to Tumah, to mace from the corpse itself. That's the Kal V'Chomer is in that domain, is in that idea, but not the Cherev. So because, in other words, Cherev would be an extension of the Kal V'Chomer, but the Kal V'Chomer itself is only with regard to the mace. Because you see that the Kal V'Chomer was employed in the idea of Tumas Ohel. So that's only with regard to the mace himself. So therefore, we should have been able to, the halacha should have been that the Cherev is also Matameh Asa, just like it's Matameh V'Maga. It's true, but it gets caught up in the klal gadol that in Tumah V'Tara, there's a qualitative difference, so to speak, between that which is Mefarish B'Tara and that which is not Mefarish B'Tara. Gets swept up in that klal. It's collateral damage, so to speak. In other words, David, what I'm saying is like this. It's not a halacha per se inherent in the idea of Masa Scherev. Masa Scherev inherently, logically, should have been Metame. But it's not inherent in Masa Scherev. But rather, it's collateral damage from the idea of that which is Mefarsh B'Torah. It's different from that which is not Mefarsh B'Torah. You follow?
Yeah.
Nice idea. A very nice idea. That'll address Aaron's observation of Dintara, and Yaakov's pointing out from the Rishima and that which exists, in Hilchos Naziris. That was a nice halacha. I mean, nice distinction there. It's good. I like it. What do you say?
It seems like a good approach, just I don't see fully halachically how that fits into the structure, this idea of the Dintara versus the Torah Shabbat.
What do you mean?
Once you make this assumption about Tumah, that anything which is not the Torah is removed because of this philosophical idea of wanting to show this because there was a custom. But halachically, just how is it structured that Tumah is different than the rest of the Torah?
I think it might only be Tumah's mace also. I'm not even sure if it's all Tumah V'Tara.
Well, okay, but Tumas Mace is the seat, is the crown of Tumah V'Tara.
Right, that's true.
But one second. You don't understand how it works.
I just don't see the full halakhic definition of the Din Torah versus the Ein of Aferosh.
Yeah, okay, I understand your point. I mean, and again, it would be a good thing to define, but the fact that it exists, you definitely see.
Well, I know, from that it exists, we can say, so therefore, whatever that idea is in general in Tumah, it applies here also, it makes sense that it would remove the Kal V'Chomer. Right, so I understand in terms of the logical deduction, I just don't understand in terms of the idea itself,
right,
which
nice.
Includes the Kal V'Chomer also, and includes all these other cases, what is that concept?
Right, be nice
That's why I'm saying like this. No, it doesn't remove the Kal V'Chomer. See, the point is as follows. Again, there's no question that there is Tosh Ba'Peh. That's what I said. That's what I mentioned before. He said that the Rove is Tosh Ba'Peh.
Right.
So what does that mean? So it means like this. It means, of course, there's going to be areas that you're going to deduce, you're going to derive from Tosh Ba'Peh. But he's saying like this. He's saying that in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara, that is the Hashlama. As opposed to, for example, just by way of contrast, is Tefillin. So the mitzvah of Tefillin in the Torah is written in a few scant words. And nobody even knows really what they mean. You know, Tartafos, I mean, what does it mean? You know, it's But and Rov Ruba, you know, Ruba the Ruba, the halachos of Tefillin, for example, are Torah Shabbat Pei. You have eight halachos of Moshe Sinai. With regard to Tefillin, you have the whole world of Dikdukim, Arul, they're all Torah Shabbat Pei. But in contradistinction, in Tumah V'Tahara, so there it's rov of the halachas are Torah Shebichsav because of the idea of whatever the Rambam means. It would be nice to define that also. There's a lot to define over here. But whatever the Rambam means at the end, where he says that that is something which is not ain't daito shalodam machras. Tefillin is also, in a certain sense, tefillin is not something that man would have come up with on his own. But there's a different idea over here. I have, as I'm talking it through, I have a suspicion as to what the Rambam's alluding to over there, but I need to really think it through a little bit more. But why Tumah V'Tahara is really different. It's like a different, as a chok, it's a different idea. But anyway, but there's no question, that for the halachic structure, the halachic function to operate is going to be halachos of Torah Shabbat Pei. There's no question. That's why he says rov.
Where does he say rov?
In the Rishima that Yaakov pointed out. It's mitzvah sasei kofchas.
But in that sense, he talks about the hashlama quite a bit in the Sefer Mitzvos. He talks a little bit about the relationship, also in kofchas.
Wait, one second. The kufchas is lios may nida metamin l'adam tara metamin mitumas meis bulvad. That's the chok, by the way. That's the
right. And then after that, he says v'da.
It is the chol elu adinu shel tumas elu rov mishpatei kol tuma v'tuma mehen rov mishpatei kol tuma v'tuma mehen mivola v'tara shibichsav. Now what do you have in Sefer? I don't have Sefer Mitzvos in front of me. What is
v'da? Because then he says v'da ki elu shoshli minim in a tuma shekadam inyanam, and then he lists them. And then he says, "Kolakam in the first b'tayu, v'chol mitzvah mikros ha'u be'vidini mitnayim, kafishu kasev parusha, v'hi b'yamshmini list of parushels." Then he says, "Valdini kol minim halu mishpatei kol min mehem alei seder tayos kol as kol zeh." And then he goes into how the masechtos are set up.
Right.
And then he references back to his whole perush on that masech on that seder.
Right. Interesting.
So it's like he's going into like how one should go about learning them, like in terms of the Torah Shabbat, the Torah Shabbat Pei, where to look.
Right. That's very interesting. You see, I think you guys hit on a critical idea over here. I think it's what you said is very important. So there's no question. You have to have Torah Shabbat Pei to be mashlim. That which is the road, which is Mefarsh Batara. So therefore, you have like this. So the Kavah Chomer itself. So Kavah Chomer, is one of Shlosh Shemidah Shatara Nidreshes Bahen. So the Kavah Chomer itself works perfectly, you see? But the only thing is like this. The Kavah Chomer works within the realm of the corpse. Why? Because what was the Kavah Chomer? The Kavah Chomer was like this. That if you see that the Torah first posits Maga, then the Torah says Oel. So the Torah expanded the definition of encounter from the universal mechanism of transference in Tumah to something else. So once that's true, so then you say like this, that if Masa and Maga are both contact in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara, contact is certainly an encounter, so therefore you certainly are encountering the mace, and then, and therefore you're going to be Tumah. But that's true insofar as the mace is concerned, because in order for that Kavah Chomer to come up in the first place, you made use of you made use in the Kavah Chomer of the idea of Oel. So Oel is only with regard to the mace. So, because there's no such thing as Oel of Kalim. So therefore, the Kavah Chomer itself is limited to the idea of the mace of the corpse. Now, what I'm saying is, I mean, what I understood you to be saying, in other words, the svar that I think is a beautiful svar that you brought up is as follows. So the Kal Vachomer is unquestionably true. Now, normally we would say that the Kal Vachomer should extend beyond its parameters to the next step, because since we know that Hanogeya Becherev is Ki'ilu Nogeya Bemeis, what does that, you know, what does it mean, Ki'ilu? Again, it's not synonymous, because you see there are differences. See, I mean, that much, we have to introduce to this discussion. They're not synonymous. But it would be an extension, it's an application. So the idea is like this, that since it's not written in Tarsh B'Chsav, therefore, it's not, the Kal Vachomer doesn't go beyond its own parameters.
But then what about Goyim? Isn't Goyim going to be a problem then?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'll explain to you why. But Goyim for what? For Masa?
For Masa.
For the corpse?
We answered that already.
We did.
Why? No, why guy's not, why his body's Matame of Masa then?
Okay, so did we answer that or we didn't answer that?
I don't think so.
Okay, so the answer to that I think is very simple. You see? Okay, so alright. Let me answer that right now. But actually, before I answer that, do you understand the point that I'm making over here?
So you're saying that you can't extend this halacha because the Kal Vachomer doesn't just teach you that that's the halacha, but it remains like a halacha, so to speak, of Torah Shebaal Peh through Kal Vachomer. Therefore, you can't extend it out where it doesn't apply.
In other words, like this, there's 2 degrees to this Kal Vachomer. The Kal Vachomer applies to the situation of the corpse.
Right.
Okay. Now you want to apply it to the situation of Cherev, which you certainly have a logical right to do.
Right.
But that's not the Kal Vachomer, that's an application of the Kal Vachomer.
Right, that would be like extending it halakhically through the concept.
That's right.
So why can't you do that?
That's the whole idea, is that Rov Gufei Torah, Rov Dinei Tumah V'Tahara is mevuar b'tara shebichsav, means that it's limited, there's a limitation. That the only area that is permitted in the Torah Shebaal Peh is that which directly relates to the Torah Shebichsav and no more. Because of this idea of the end of Hilchos Mikvaos. That to communicate the idea of the chok nature of Tumah V'Tahara, you know, the whole idea that Shein Daita Shaladim, the person would never get to it on his own. So that, how does that manifest it? How is that expressed? It is expressed by the idea of a difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh over here.
You mean like the Torah Shebichsav always has to relate to the Torah Shebichsav?
Right, directly.
And if I were to extend it, it would really be Torah Shebaal Peh relating to Torah Shebaal Peh. You wouldn't have a hook into the Ksav.
That's right.
So
that you can have in tefillin, and that you can have in sukkah, and that you can have, whatever, in basmuch, in kashrus, and basmuch, all over the place. But over here, there's a limitation.
You're saying a pretty sweeping idea in Tumah V'Tahara in general. I mean, wouldn't you have to check, like, all those cases?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you're right. I mean, you are right about that. You would have to check. The only thing is that what gives me, confidence in saying it again is it has to be checked out. There's no question, but I'm not as hesitant as I otherwise would be because of the fact that what the Zimmer pointed out before, and what Yaakov pointed out before, that the Rambam repeatedly goes out of his way to emphasize this idea.
Right.
And you see that you can have something. You can have something which is winds up being an avatuma d'oraisa because it's derived from the avatuma d'oraisa. Logically it's derived, but it stops at that point. It stops at level one. It doesn't ever get to level two. So you're not chayav on bias mikdash for it. Even though you get malkos, you follow what I'm saying.
Which case you're referring to?
No, the distinction in the Nazir.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, David's right. You know, you really have to check it. But the idea is a good starting idea. It's a good working point, because why is the Rambam repeatedly going again and again and again? I mean, emphasizing this point. He makes it sound like it's a central idea in Tumah V'Tahara.
Right.
So once you have that, you can answer the problem. It should be. Masa Sacharev should be Metamei, but it's collateral damage, so to speak, because of this Kohar Gadol. I like it. I think I may even like it better than what I was going to say.
What were you going to say?
Just on this thing?
Yeah.
So what's, in terms of the halakhic structure, what's the difference between Torah Shebal Peh of Kol HaTakul and Torah Shebal Peh in Tumah V'Tahara? I'm just not seeing
it. I'll tell you this. Torah Shebal Peh in Tumah V'Tahara, in other words, like this, the Torah Shebichsav in Tumah V'Tahara sets up all the principles, and from that, so if you take the Torah Shebapeh, you take the Shlosh Midos, so that's mashlim, and so you could fit or you could work out the cases from the cases of Tuma from the principles of Tuma, but you're limited only to the idea, only to those cases, and no extensions of from the cases. You see, but in other mitzvahs, and why is that? Because of a unique halacha. I mean, not a halacha is the wrong word. A unique klal, unique principle that in Tumah V'Tahara, that there's this whole idea of a distinction in Tumah V'Tahara between the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. Because otherwise, what do I care? Well, who cares? Torah Shebapeh, Torah Shebichsav. What difference does it make? Daraisa is Daraisa. But apparently there is an idea. Can you guys hold on 1 second?
Yeah.
Alright, so, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so what's the difference with the Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebapeh? Daraisa is Daraisa. Who cares? But the answer is that over here there is a value. There's a discrete, definite value in having it to be Torah Shebichsav. It's an interesting idea. It came to my mind as you guys were talking about this. So, there is one other place that I'm familiar with that I don't know if anybody really highlights it, but it's obvious that the rov halachos are Torah Shebichsav versus Torah Shebapeh, and that is the Beis Hamikdash.
There's
a Mikdash in the Kelim.
I think the Rambam highlights it a little bit by the Koivanos.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, but here it's like based upon what the Zimmer pointed out before and everything. But that's a different reason. That's a different idea. So over there, I don't think it's to communicate this idea of the Chok. Even though the Rambam does speak very loudly about the idea that Karbanos really, is a Chok. I mean, but over there, it's because of the problem of Avodah Zarah. That if you deviate, one iota, so in other words, the Mikdash is a dangerous thing. I spoke about this. I mean, to you guys, like I think last year, the Mikdash can be potentially a very dangerous thing because, it's using mechanisms that are common to Avodah Zarah, really. Karbanos, Ishtachavoya, Nisach, Haktara. I mean, and you're using physical objects. So it's a dangerous, dangerous thing. So therefore, the Torah is insistent, man's creativity and man's own mind over here has nothing to say. It's by God's will, and that's it. And that's why hundreds of psukim in Torah Shebichsav devoted to the Tzuras HaKelim, Tzuras HaMikdash. I mean, but it's a different idea. Over here, it's the idea of Gzeres HaKasov, Ve'enu Midvarim Shedaita Shalada Machra Asasun. A different idea. But see, over here, it's like it's a lesson. I mean, it teaches something. I mean, over here, it's also, I mean, you know, it's also a lesson, but in a different sense. I mean, so over there, it's not the idea that that which is not in the Torah, you can't learn out from that which is, you know, it's limited only, it's factually, it's limited to what's written in the Torah, and that's it. But over here, you have all kinds of halachos, hundreds and hundreds of cases of halachos. I mean, so the idea is that because of that lesson, it's really limited to that which is written in Torah Shebichtav. But let me answer do you see it? I have to answer the question about the goy. But do you understand? But before I answer that, does everybody understand what's going on?
So you're saying that normally, once whether something halachas created Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebichtav, its halachic status is identical, and they're the same operation.
Makes no difference, because in other words, the halach is blind to the chesav about that. Who cares? What's the difference?
Deraisa is deraisa, but over here, there's a different status whether something is din Torah in the Pesukim or it's created the Torah Shabbat Peh.
Correct.
And nafka, there's a halachic, different halachic status to that halacha, and therefore, you can only like extend something that's written in the pasuk, but you can't extend the halacha that was created.
From which was written in the pasuk.
Right. The Torah Shabbat Peh's realm here is only on like direct contact with Torah Shebichtav.
That's correct. Look, it's not me. The truth is that last point, you know, the second to last point. In other words, the fact that there is clearly a difference, a halachically manifested difference, is something that you pointed out. You see that, you know, din Torah, you can have something which is daraisa. And yet, it doesn't express itself, you know, it doesn't express itself in certain ways because it's not the first Picasso. That's the Rambam and the Zeros, the right, and Thomas Mace.
Right.
But at this point, we're not defining precisely what that different status is.
I know, it has to be, you're right, it's something to work on. I mean, but I'm just noticing, I mean, I'm not noticing, you notice, but I'm just sharpening what you guys came up with.
That's fine.
You're a Sfarah.
No, but you asked for the definition. I thought you were going to like define the house. And this part I'm fine with. That's what you know we were saying before. Just, and I see the Kal V'Chomer. Just, you know, it seems like it's just so you to understand it more fully.
Right. It just seems like it's right. Which is what the exact idea is.
We're noticing the phenomenon, but we're not defining the area.
Well, let me put it this way. It's a little bit more than just noticing the phenomenon. In other words. What we're saying is, we're saying over here that there is a principle that says there's a halachic klal gadol over here that in Tumah V'Tahara all you have is the Torah Shebichtav and that which immediately emanates from the Torah Shebichtav, which is Hashlama. In other words, all you really have is Torah Shebichtav. So it's Torah Shebichtav proper. And the Hashlama of Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebichtav. And there's a reason for it, and that's what I want to say is the reason for that idea is what the Rambam is talking about at the end of Hilchos Mikvaos. And because of that, so over here it's an accidental feature. That's what I mean when I say collateral damage. Because the Torah, for a completely different reason, leaves out Masa. You know, for what we explained because of the idea of Kedusha V'Tahara. But once that's true and it leaves it out, so then the Kal V'Chomer, which applies to Masa, applies in a specific realm and cannot go beyond that realm, and that's it. And therefore, accidentally, Tumas Masa cannot apply to Cherev. I mean, it's a fascinating idea.
Right.
I mean, another thing which is interesting.
Yeah.
Just that point you made about the Kal V'Chomer, like the Kedusha V'Tahara, because the example from Kedusha of Basi V'Chalav is very much like a Torah Shebichtav Peh phenomenon.
But Basi V'Chalav, what is what about Basi? Basi Bas is not really. I mean.
Basi Bas. Right, I mean, Bas, I mean, Elias is not, but in Basi V'Chalav, it seems much more so.
Right. That's true.
Which is interesting, like you know, if that idea of fusion talk is a primary idea, seeing how that plays in might also be instructive.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to think about over here, but I like the svar. I think the svar is a good idea. I think it's a nice idea. The direction that I was going in it was different. The direction I was going in was to say that there's a primary difference between the corpse. There's an essential difference between the corpse and between cherev. That one, you know, they represent or they reflect death to different, you know, to different degrees. In other words, the corpse reflects death in a complete way. I'll be a little descriptive, you know. In other words, whether you kill somebody or somebody dies, at the end of the day, you have a corpse. You see, but cherev is, you know, is limited to one facet, you know, within the idea of death. So the halacha is, so for example, that the kohen couldn't be metameh, so he's not able to be metameh to the issur is to be metameh to the mace. It means that which reflects death in its entirety. You know, as opposed to cherev, which reflects an aspect of death, but not, you know, not the category, you know, in its entirety. So that would be the difference between the two. So therefore, it would be like this: that the first step that the Torah said was that you metame, you create an avatuma b'maga using the universal mechanism of transfer from tuma v'tara. Then ohel. Then the kal v'chomer t'masa. But the kal v'chomer t'masa would be limited to that which the Torah explained. Again, and not outside of the realm of Tosh Bichsav versus Tosh Bapeh, but the Kal V'Chomer would be limited to that which the Torah explained. In other words, with regard to that which doesn't reflect death to in its entirety, so there you would have only the first step, namely the universal mechanism, since Ol, not Ol and not Masa, you know, not Ol, not the Kal V'Chomer applied to it. But I wasn't completely happy with it. You know, it was a direction. But I think yours is true. I think you're because the Rambam again emphasizes again and again and again this critical distinction between Tosh B'Chsav and Tosh B'Peh.
Rabbi,
yours is better.
Why does your chiluk, between the corpse and the cherev necessitate that the Kal V'Chomer
doesn't?
Is...
It doesn't necessitate. You're right. That was the point that I was unhappy about. I mean, it doesn't necessitate that it be that way, but it allows it to be that way.
Uh-huh.
So that's the point that I wasn't so happy with. But I like yours better. I like yours better. Well, let me answer the question. Let's answer the question of the guy.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just the question being from the Tumas Kohanim.
Yes.
Is the reason why you're assuming that the Tumas Kohanim is based on the same reasons as going on over here, as opposed to Tumas Kohanim being because Tumas Kohanim is an idea of Kvuga? You know, it's in terms of being Osek B'Mes. And then there are different levels. There's like, for the Kohen Gadol, it's the idea of entering his oath. For everyone else, it's just Kvuga per se. I mean, because that's where the Rambam puts it, and that's really where the formulation in terms of Psukim is. You know, they shouldn't be Tame except for Kvuga. Like, there's different ideas in terms of Osek B'Mes.
Where's that wrong by coin?
It's in Hilchos Avil.
Do you know where it is in Avil?
Yeah, he starts the Perek Gimel is the essential, you know, essentially is the one that deals with it.
That
it may start at the end of Perek Beis also, but Perek Gimel is the main one.
No, but do you know that where the halacha of not to a kli, only where it's to a nefesh? You know that?
It's there. I mean, Yaakov, it's a good point. While I'm turning the pages here, it's a good point. It's a good point. You could say. I have to think about it. I mean, it's because it's expressed. It's a funny way of expressing it. You know, like Let me think about it. One second. It's Gimel Halacha Beis. Okay. Yavet v'chemim naga akayim b'kever loke, ava nageyahu b'vgadim shenagu b'meis, af pi shemistame b'hem tuma shiva. Alright, in any event, what's the answer with the guy? What's the answer with regard to the guy?
What's the question again?
question is like this: that in, how do you have tumas masa by a guy, by the body of a guy? Because the whole, because it relies on a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer was the tumas masa altogether relies on the kal v'chomer, right? I'm talking about now not masa for kalim, obviously, but masa for the mace himself. That relies on a kal v'chomer, right? The kal v'chomer was that the Torah starts off with maga, then ohel, and then it said, then if it's matai, if you have tumas ohel, so if mace has tumas maga and tumas ohel, if matam shiva, so in the velo which has tumas maga and not tumas ohel, it does have tumas masa. Mace should certainly have tumas ma, you know, so certainly masa should be matami the mace. So it relies, the kal v'chomer relies on ohel. I mean, you don't have a kal v'chomer without tumas ohel. So, and since by goy there's no tumas ohel, so therefore, it should fall apart with regard to tumas masa for a goy. That's the kasha.
Right.
Yeah, but the answer according to what Asvara is beautiful. What's the answer? The answer is like this: that it's not that the kal v'chomer doesn't make use of the idea of tumas masa being of tumas ohel being applied in every case. It means like this. Remember, Asvara was, why does tumas ohel not apply to a guy? Because the nature of tumas ohel is an encounter. And it's a social encounter. It's a human domain encounter. See? Right?
Right.
So really, tumas ohel would apply to a guy. It should apply to a guy. But for the fact that socially, Jews and goyim don't mix. But conceptually, in abstract, the idea is like this, that tumas ohel applies to mace. Now we have to go see, so, okay, on what circumstances is there a social connection between the Adam and the mace? There's no social connection between a Jew and a guy, so therefore there's no tumas ohel there. But the kal v'chomer that introduces masa doesn't depend upon whether or not there is a social barrier or not a social barrier. It depends upon the idea of the phenomenon of tumas of ohel, meaning that by misa, encounter is defined by something beyond simply, you know, the universal mechanism of transfer of tumah. Now, whether at the end of the day it winds up applying to a goy, because there's an impediment, there's a social barrier there, does not take away from the concept.
Right. It means, like, in theory, saying that the goy is really, so to speak, matai bohel. Just practically, there's never any. You can't have an encounter. You can't actually.
Because
there's
a social barrier there.
So you can't,
you follow what I'm saying?
You can't have the actual encounter of ohel. That's not possible. But
let me put it this way: being in an ohel with a guy is not a social interaction, because Jews and goyim are precluded from social interaction.
What about kalim? Why kalim? If that's the reason, shouldn't he be matame kalim bohel?
Should say it again?
Shouldn't the guy be matame kalim bohel?
No, why?
It's kosher bohel, like his furniture. Isn't that the idea of...
Those kalim, in the ohel are kalim of your domain.
Those are kalim... Aren't those kosher bohel?
Right, I understand. But kosher bohel means that in the human domain...
Wait, just like kol ha'bal ohel, and just like the goyim don't receive tumah, they just don't like that whole framework. So it's the Jews' kalim.
Say it again?
It's kol asher bol, kol ha'bal, kol asher bol. It's the Adam and Kalim in the ohel.
Right.
Now, the only Adam in an ohel who becomes tummy is the Jew.
Exactly.
Yeah, what about the Kalim in the ohel? There are the Goy's Kalim.
So the Kalim are the extension of the Jew. It's that the Goyim don't receive tumah.
You mean it's like the Jew's Kalim in the ohel?
Yeah.
That's called
it's the human... It's not a bilus issue, in case that's what's bothering you. It's not a bilus thing. It's not of
right.
Who owns the Kalim. The question is, like... In whose realm do those kalim exist?
Right.
Right. Well, what if a kli touches the mace? I mean, does it become like the which is a guy? Does the kli become like the mace?
Yeah, why not?
For sure.
So then it's cherev.
It's a cherev.
So then it should be like you're saying.
No, I'm saying there's another thing of kol shabol is kalim that are in the hole with the mace are metame boa are become tame.
Yeah.
Right. But the question is what's the nature of that tuma? What's the nature of that, you know, of their becoming tame there?
Right. I thought that was just like the primary thing. When a person dies, so you have he relates to the environment around him, like his living room.
No. He said it's not his. No. It's not his kalim. It's not his thing. In other words, it's our. It's the human. It's our domain. It's the world of the living encountering the world of the dead. So those kalim are the so to speak the world of the living.
And you mean like that's like so to speak the Jews kalim?
It's only the Jews.
I mean that's not social. My point is like that's not a social. You don't need social interact. However that works, it doesn't work through social interaction, does it?
It works through the idea of recognizing the living space, you know, my recognizing the interaction, the nexus between the living Jew and the dead body. And if that intersection point is not a contact, but rather an encounter based upon living space, which is a social domain, a social phenomenon, so then the kalim that are in there, which are the kalim of the world of the living, are interacting with the dead in a social, you know, a social domain, so then they're not interacting if there's a barrier there.
Okay, what about what if another guy were to go in there?
Goyim are not subject to the Torah altogether.
Okay, fine. So that works for him. But what about his kalim? Why can't there be a social interaction between two goyim such that makes his kalim tame?
His kalim is an extension of him. He's not subject to tumah.
No, like his world, his couch. He brings his couch into that ohel.
But he's not subject. The goy is not subject to tumah.
The only way the couch becomes tame is because we treat it just like a Jew's couch. We say, Ilus plays no role. Meaning, if we had a din of a goy's couch, we would just
want to
become tamei altogether.
Exactly. And it's not a bilus issue; it's a conceptual issue. I mean, I want to make that point clear.
Jews, Caitlin, interacting with
God. Okay, you see it?
Right.
Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Just I think in the beginning we had also asked on the way the Rambam learns how you have masa by goy but not the ohel.
Yes.
That in the halacha he says because by midyan it only says naga v'lo hizkir sham ohel.
Right.
And also in the parash mishnayos it says was it adam?
It says ten krim adam.
Right, ten krim adam. Right. So I think we
answered that.
We answered both of them.
Yeah, explain. In other words, they're both really the same thing. They both relate to the same idea. Because remember the pasuk, the Perasha Mishnah is based upon a pasuk in Yechezkel, which talks about the difference between the nation of the Jews and the nations of the Goyim. And the Milchemes Midyan was the Milchama of separation between Jews and Goyim. Remember that?
Yeah.
You'll go back to it. You'll see.
Yeah.
All right. So let's stop for tonight. So next week we have the philosophy, and we'll do the Blin Eder, we'll do the Leia. I want to also talk about just briefly explain the significance of Leia's name. So and how that impacted on her relationship and Rachel's relationship with Lavan. So we'll do that Blin Eder next week. Motzei Shabbos 6:30. Still okay for everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, so put it back on.
Okay.
So Yaakov asked a very good question. Okay, Yaakov, that's a good question. What's the halacha? Like the Rambam makes a point of saying that you know that a goy doesn't so to speak transfer to. And I use the word transfer loosely, and he's not subject to tumah. I mean, where does that come from? So the truth is, you know, like why does the Rambam have to make the point? Because the guy is not subject to the whole halachic system. You know, he's not subject to the whole halachic system. I mean, so of course he's not going to be, he's not going to become tamei. I mean, what's the, like what, you know, why would you think that he would be? See? But the answer is, you see, that you could have said, you could have said that,
of course you would. Neither is a kli, but a kli becomes tamei.
Ah, very good. Okay. Yeah, but the only thing is, but a guy is a human being, right? So neither does a kli. A kli doesn't partake of the halachic system. I mean, you know, per se. I mean, so the answer is like this. So you'd say that's exactly correct. You'd say that a guy could become tamei, insofar as he's a chefza, not a gavra.
Right.
Insofar as he's a chefza, not a gavra. So that's why the Rambam has to address it. That's why it has to be addressed, because maybe the guy should become tamei. A guy can become tamei and therefore transfer tamei in the rest of the realm. You know, Tumas Meis, so it's okay. It's not a question of transfer, but in the other areas of tamei, so he could become tamei and transfer tamei insofar as he's a chesed, not a gavra. So why doesn't he? Why doesn't he?
And that's the idea, though. Once he becomes a chetz and not a gavra, so then he becomes like a behema.
And what's wrong with behema?
And behema, bali chaim, that's the halacha, but bali chaim don't become tamei.
That's exactly correct. In fact, he says in the Parashat Mishnah, he says that very point. He says that just like a behema is not matamei, or not nitmar not matamei, so too is a goy not nitmar matamei. So again, here's one of those areas where it's useful to point this out, that people look at that halacha, and the Rambam didn't make it up. It's I believe it's the Gemara you say the Torah views goyim as if they're behemoths. I mean, you know, like it's a derogatory, racist type of thing, but it's not. Only someone who has no clue as to the halachic system would say such a thing. But it means like this, that any human being could be viewed in one of two ways. Could be viewed as a gavra, living human being is a gavra. Or it could be viewed as a chafza. A person can also be viewed as an object. So therefore, you have like this. So insofar as he's a gavra, so then of course he's not nitmar matame, because he's not part of the halachic system, and you don't need a limud for that. You don't need a gemara for that. You don't need anybody to tell you that. But the question is, what about insofar as he's a chefza? You see? So, that's a good question. So the answer to that question is that a bal chai as a chefza is not matame. It could have imagined the structure where bal chai would be metame, nitma metame, because again, insofar as possessions are concerned, so a human being owns kelim, he also owns animals. See, so why is it, and you can understand by the way also why that is, right? So why is it that a bal chai is not metame, nitma metame? So the answer is because the whole idea of kelim is from the paradigm of begadim, because the extension of the person is extended, you know, paradigmatically through begadim, which partake of the realm of kelim. A bal chai is a possession of a person, but it doesn't partake of that idea. So you can't say bal chai is extended from begadim. You see? So therefore, just like a shore is not nitmar matamei, so too is a goy not nitmar matamei. But it has nothing to do with derogatory, you know, prejudicial, you know, racist, things, values. I mean, it's a halakhic concept. You see, that's the idea.
Is there a reason why the Rambam puts that idea with the idea of that the goy as a mace is matamei?
Why he juxtaposes that?
He puts it in the same halacha, the idea of that all goyim and behemos do not receive tumah.
Right.
Because he's mentioned in the Mishnah Torah also the idea that it's because of behemos.
Right. No, so what's your question?
So is there a reason why he puts that with the same point as the goy being metame as a mace?
Oh, yeah. Because structurally speaking, so you'd say like this, the fact that a guy is not metame, so you could say you'd wind up saying that a guy is not simply is not subject to Tumah Vatara altogether. He doesn't partake of the whole world of Tumah Vatara. So if he doesn't partake of the world of Tumah Vatara, so the body of a guy is just nothing. See, but it is. See, in that sense, the goy is a gavra, not a chefza. That's the distinction. Insofar as misa is concerned, tumas meis as a mitame, so the goy is a gavra. A gavra is a gavra meis. I mean, you know. But it's not. There's no kasha with regard to the halachic system. He doesn't partake of the halachic system because the idea is the encounter with death. Is this a human being who died? So it's an encounter with death. So in that sense, he is part of that world, that idea. But be careful, he's not a gavra insofar as the halachic system, nor is he a chefza. I mean, he is a chefza, but he's not a chefza in terms of Tumah Vatara because of the idea of Baal Chai.
Right, but a mace is from the species of Adam, and not.
That's correct.
It's not Gavra. It's not like the halachic shema.
That's what I bet. You're right. I mean, you're right about that. I mean it loosely. You're right. It's because it's a human being who died.
Is there a good halachim, you know?
Which is a riot. It's not because we treat them like animals. They're Adam. They're Matami to his mace.
Yeah.
Is there a good halachim, you know? Or it's just like you would have thought, just like he's excluded completely.
Is it logically speaking?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could say that the structure. It's true, it's an encounter with death, but you could say that since this whole realm is the realm of Tumah Vatara, it has to be something which is subject to the parameters of Tumah Vatara. You understand what I'm saying?
Not really. I mean,
no. In other words, one second. It is like this. The Tumas Meis means is an encounter with death. Okay? So, a guy is a human being, so he's dead. It is death. So then, okay, so it's an encounter with death. But you could have conceived of the idea that since this whole idea of the encounter with death is now placed into a framework, it's placed into a realm, the realm of Tumah Vatara. And in that realm of Tumah Vatara, a goy is not nitma or metame. So therefore, you could think that therefore, insofar as it's concerned, you're right. He's dead. It is death.
Insofar as what is concerned?
Death. He is dead. Insofar as the idea of encounter with death, he is dead. There's no question. But that was placed into the realm of Tumah Vatara, and the goy doesn't partake of the realm of Tumah Vatara, not as a subject, not as an object. So therefore, the body of the guy shouldn't be metami. I mean, that's the approach. Yeah, it could be a little sharper.
I mean, yeah. Are you hearing the svara? Are you basing it like from the realm inside, or just the svara? Because from the realm inside, it seems like he's tying it specifically to the fact that there's no ohel. That's what I was starting out with. Just the way the realm says it, he says, it's in Halachi, Bezian, Gimel, and Perak Al of Tumas Meis.
Right.
Different actual.
And he says, Echad Meis Mizgal, and a goy mitan v'lag of Umasa, the ain a goy mitan v'ol, the devag zeh kabalahu, but he only be milchamas midjan v'chol no gay b'chalal, lo his gisham ohel. The chayin a goy ain unasa tamay meis.
Which is a new halacha, isn't it?
No.
Or according to Frankel, it is.
What? Okay, we have a question as to whether it's a new halacha.
No, it's in the one volume Rambam, it's the V'chein HaGoy is a new halacha.
Yeah, that's what I thought also. Now, Fishman's pointing out that in the Frankel, it's a new halacha.
Yeah. V'chein HaGoy ain't a nasa to my mace.
I was wondering what you're talking about.
Well, G'chein should not give me mace, actually.
What are you asking me?
It is interesting. No, what Yaakov's pointing out, I'll tell you why it's interesting. is because of the Sefer, really. Because he says at the end, he says the lo betumas meis bilvad el bechol atumas kul ani not going blow behem mitame behem. It's funny that it looks like he's saying that it's really taken from here.
Right. Frankel splits it up differently, apparently. He puts the halach bait before v'chein hagoy. And then that and the lo tumas mesul vadek together.
Oh.
One second. I'm looking at the one volume. You know, I'm looking at the kafir. I'm basically.
I was looking at the one volume also.
So he says v'chein hagoy is the new halacha, and it ends off with v'hushi yeh Yisraeli.
In our edition of the one volume, was
that differently? Okay.
Different gear source in the one volume?
Oh my god.
Yeah, we have a different one volume, apparently.
You mean you have, like, the chocolate Rambam is different?
Yeah.
What?
How could that be?
I don't know.
Do you have the small version or the big version?
I'm looking at the small version. I have the big version in the house, too.
The small one is a new one, right?
Could be the small one is a new one. Maybe they changed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's bad if they're correcting their own gears.
You're telling us.
Take a look at it. But you know what? It's a good question because he seems to say that the whole principle of the goy not being subject to tumah altogether is based upon tumas meis. And if it's based upon tumas meis,
and based specifically upon ohel.
That's the idea of social. Of the social.
Once they hear the social, it's like they're not part of that framework. Right, and that's like Adam attempt, right? That they're not Adam, and therefore they're with the Hema.
I know, but why should that make a difference with regard to the other things? That's funny. In other words, let's say they're not like Adam. Then Queen Adam. So they're not like Adam. I mean, it's as if he's saying, it's almost as if he's saying that even though the guy, it sounds like he's saying like this, that even though the guy is not in the halachic system altogether, he's not a Jew, you know, but the fact that he is an Adam would make him a transferer of Tumah.
Right.
But because we don't view him as an Adam because of the social considerations, that's why he's not Metame. That's fascinating. You see, you understand.
Right, that's what it sounds like.
What do you mean?
No, it was like this. The Rambam is saying like this. He says that a goy, here's his formulation. He says that a goy is not not matami ba'olel. Okay? So that's halacha yud gimel. Then he says, next halacha in this volume that I'm looking at, the next halacha is that he says that he's not nase tamei meis. He's not nitma the meis. And then he says that because he's like a behema, okay. Then he says that also he's velobatumus meis bilvad elakalatumus kulan. So and what he seems to be saying is like this. I mean, That the issue is like this, that, I mean, the kasha on the Rambam is as follows. Why is he saying that it's that the rest of the goy and the rest of the realm of Tumah V'Tahara seems to be, he doesn't say it outright, but it seems the implication of what he's saying is that Tumas Mace is the paradigm. So, you know, that because the goy is not Matame, not Nitma V'Mace, not nitma v'meis, so you know, so too is he not nitma or matame for anything else. So the question is, what are you talking about? I mean, he's not a Jew. He doesn't partake of the realm of Tumah V'Tahara. So, and you're gonna tell me then that he's not a Jew. That's insofar as he's a gavra. But what about insofar as he's a chefza? So insofar as he's a chefza, so behema also. Behemoth's not in the matame, you know, for the other things either. But the funny thing is, what's interesting is that over here, he implies that Behemoth for the rest of Tumah V'Tahara is also based upon this. Everything seems to stem from Tumas Meis and Tumas Oel. I mean, it's funny. So what I think he's saying is like this, that the idea is, and it's interesting. The idea is that as an Adam, you would say you would say that he should be metame. Not as a Jew, but as an Adam. An Adam transfers tumah.
Right.
But you're right. In other words, insofar as a cheft is concerned, you're right. So insofar as a gavra is concerned, the fact that he's not a Jew doesn't matter. He would be metame as an Adam.
Okay.
But the only thing is that we don't look at him as an Adam, insofar as Tumas Mace is concerned.
Because of Tumas Ohel?
And the Vaharaya, that's the thing, it's Tumas Ohel. A Tankrin Adam, Velo Mas Olam.
Isn't that an equivocal use of Adam?
Yeah, I'm saying, in other words, there's a social, the idea is that, yes, it is. There's a social barrier.
So all of a sudden now he's not an Adam in any Tumah? Like
there's Adam that lives on the level that Adam is supposed to live, and then there's potential Adam.
Isn't that where the social differentiation comes from?
Yeah. So the only thing is, what about Behemoth? He says over here also that just like, one second. The Behemoth should not have a mace. Right. In a glimpse of Behemoth, Miss Tommy Biden. Because. Well, Behemoth, I can understand. Adam. Yeah. No, it works out well. It means that in the realm of Tumah Vitara, you could have said that any Adam is Mitame. You could have said that. It's a vehicle for transfer. But it doesn't depend upon partaking of the halachic system, the halachic realm, but any Adam. But since there's a barrier between Jew and Goy, that's why they don't. I mean, Moshe's question is a good question. You have to sharpen it up. But I'll tell you something else. Based upon this, it answers the next thing. Halacha Yudalit. When we divrei so from Shiyu Agayim Kizavim, we'll call divreiim. It's a funny thing. I mean, how could Chazal create Tumas Agoy. How could that be? They're not subject to Tumas Tara. How could they create something that doesn't exist? But the answer is that it's not that it doesn't exist, that as an Adam, they could have, as a human being, they could have been subject to Tuma. But it's because of a social impediment. Let me think about it over the week. Think about it over this week. I mean, but he's definitely saying along those lines that really the fact that the guy doesn't partake of the halachic system is not a cause for him to be knocked out of Tumah Vitara. He could have been nitma and transferred to him. That he's nitma, who cares? We don't care. The fact that he's nitma, so who cares if he's nitma? But someone who's nitma can transfer to him. So, for example, if you have the guy would be a Vlada Tumah, let's say with regard to anything else, right? So, guy would be a Vlada Tumah, he touches something else, he creates a Sheni La Tumah, let's say. In those areas that have, Sheni La Tumah, you understand what I'm saying? He could transfer Tumah.
Right, or Kimitami Kli touches.
Right, exactly. So there were our Bemace, exactly. Bemace, he would be metamic clay.
Food is easiest.
be an avatama daraisa. But he doesn't because there's a barrier, there's a social barrier. Interesting. I mean, you have to be careful here because it's not a question in regular tumah. In regular tumah, it's not an idea of encounter. In regular tumah, it's the transference of through maga, through masa. It's not an idea of encounter. So why should I care? Why should we care if there's a social barrier? You see, but it has to do. I mean, I think it has to do with the idea that atem kriin adam veinu mitzolam kriin adam means that there's a different. partake of Adam in a different way. All right, it's something to think about.